Rafe stepped to the door of the inner office. Isaacs was stretched on the floor, medics working on him. Rafe proffered the headset to the nearest person, someone he vaguely recalled sitting at a desk outside.
Excuse me, the Premier's on the comm. What should I tell him?
Melendi turned abruptly and strode toward Rafe.
Give me that. I'll deal with him.
I'm on my way.
Rafe handed the headset to Melendi.
You're not going anywhere. It's all your fault.
No, it's not, and I'm going to the Premier's office as soon as possible.
Why? So you can kill him too?
I did not kill the secretary. I wasn't even...
You probably poisoned him or something. He was perfectly healthy before you showed up, and you threatened me!
Don't be ridiculous. I had no reason to kill either of you, even if it weren't illegal. Secretary Isaacs had a heart attack or a stroke or something. I had nothing to do with it.
You are a dangerous rogue. You always have been. You always will be.
Rafe just stopped himself from saying that Melendi was an idiot and always had been and always would be. So far, no security personnel were in the room to hear Melendi's accusations, but they were probably on their way.
I'm going to meet with the Premier. Thank you for all your help.
Melendi's jaw dropped. In that moment of confusion, Rafe slipped out of the office and, instead of going to the elevator his own security was already holding for him, he signaled that he would take the utility stairs. He removed the official visitor's pass he wore as he walked down the hall, peeling off the tell tag on its back and, hardly breaking stride, opened the door to a men's toilet and slapped it onto the inside wall above the light switch. From his inner jacket pocket, he took the small packet containing an apparent twin to the tell tag, slipped it out, and pressed it onto his pass. Pre-programmed for just such occasions, the tag now deactivated door alarms and informed area controls that he was authorized anywhere in the building and also for unplanned entrances and exits. Nobody stopped him on the way down to the ground floor. The stairs there opened into a side passage invisible from the main entrance, and one of his own team was there to meet him.
Elevator stopped on 4. Security let Curran go when you weren't in it. He'll meet us outside.
Idiots. Did you re-tag?
Not yet.
Do it now.
Even Gary, always suspicious, had thought providing the entire security detail with fake tell tags was unnecessary. Rafe had agreed, but insisted on having them anyway. With his escort re-tagged, Rafe led the way toward one of the utility entrances. Guests were not normally allowed in this area, but the few employees who saw them were obviously more interested in the break room they passed than in strangers in the corridor. No live guard at the entrance, even. There was a full suite of electronic surveillance, but the loop for storage was brief, and the equipment was old, not working properly even before Rafe contributed a little more damage. They had come out into a small, paved space. Rafe's other escort stepped out from behind a trash bin. He led them along a paved lane just wide enough for a trash truck, between windowless walls, to a larger parking area. A sidewalk led off to the left, around the corner of the building, and probably, Rafe thought, to the front. But his escort nodded instead to the car park itself. Just beyond, his car waited.
The parking attendant hadn't heard?
Small alterations. His car park has a separate exit.
Moments later, he was in the car, reporting to Gary what had happened.
Melendi's going to claim I killed the secretary.
I'll alert your legal team from here. You'd better get back here. They'll expect that, but...
They think I'm headed for the Premier's office. I'm supposed to meet him.
Don't. They'll be ready for you.
I know that, but I still need to talk to him. Isaacs hadn't told him about Boxtop. The Premier still thought ISC's fleet would be able to protect this system.
Isaacs was in on it.
Must have been. I knew he was taking bribes, but I thought he was greedy, not a traitor. Just when I think it can't get worse, it does. Damn it, I can't save the world all by myself. Somebody else has got to be honest and competent.
Come on, boyo. You know this is more fun than sitting in your fancy office looking at spreadsheets.
It was fun when it didn't mean a billion people could die if I screwed up.
I still can't get used to you being all sober and responsible. I've seen you at it for 3 seasons now, and I keep expecting you to break loose and do something crazy.
I'm reverting to my boring corporate roots.
From what I see of these guys, they're as crooked as you ever were. That's not boring.
No, right now it's terrifying. Our fleet's worth zilch, except for that one special unit. Nexus defense is nothing that can stop Turek, and I have no doubt he's coming. We're the helpless virgin as the barbarian comes in the gates.
Don't go literary on me. What about Admiral Vada? You could ask her.
I could, if she weren't dead.
What?
Last night. Heard it last night. Fleet action at Moray System. 20-day FTL jump from us. She drove off the enemy attacking their naval yard, but in the process her ship blew up.
Rafe, I'm sorry.
I knew it was likely. I told myself, just think that she's died. Don't think about her. We're not supposed to be... aren't anything to each other.
Are you sure she's dead?
As sure as the Moray officer who told me. Her ship blew up. She was in it. Of course, our brilliant government refused to ally with Moscow and Slaughter Key, so even if she were alive, she might not come.
You think the Alliance wants Nexus to fall?
No, but I think they won't come without being asked by the government. And if the government is convinced I killed, or attempted to kill, the Secretary of Defense, then they are less likely to yell for help.
ISC's headquarters loomed ahead. Farther ahead, something with flashing lights sped toward them. Too close. Rafe leaned toward the driver.
Use the tunnel.
The car turned aside, drove a short distance between nondescript buildings, and went down a ramp to an underground loading dock, then made a sharp turn into what was actually an underground parking garage. At the bottom level of that, a blank wall slid aside, revealing a narrow tunnel. The car eased in. The wall slid closed behind them. The tunnel ran down, curving slightly to the right, then emerged into a cavernous, dark space. The headlights picked out something shiny in the distance.
At one time, I would have thought this high adventure. Now it's a nuisance.
Shiny was a grate, which slid up at their approach, letting them into a car-sized lift. To one side was a smaller lift for personnel and a hardwire comport. Rafe stepped out of the car and plugged into the comport.
Here. Front gate's crawling with cops. No sign any of them spotted your car. You did button up the tunnel.
Yes, Gary. Both ends. Can't do anything about the thermal into the garage, though. I'm in sub-level C. Best route?
I'll send a truck in to start foxing the thermal. Your best route, leave the car down. Take the lift up to sub-A, turn right, take the second corridor to the left, second staircase, right again. There's a lift to the 8th floor. Go into archives, and at the back left there's another lift. I'll meet you there.
Rafe followed this complicated path without incident, except for dodging someone in a technical services tunic pushing a wheeled cart with a big gray metal box on it down the corridor. The man quickly pulled the cart to one side, and Rafe strode past, nodding thanks. The door dragon at archives, where he'd been before, simply smiled.
Good day, Sir Dunbarger. Can I help you find anything?
No thanks, Sarah Vosen. I'm just taking the shortcut today.
It's all right for you, Sir Dunbarger. But I will not have those infants from survey coming in here, pretending to look for charts, and then sneaking down the back lift to lunch an hour early.
And quite right. I trust you make them look at charts until noon.
I certainly do. Or send them right back to their section.
The lift was waiting when he reached it, with Gary inside.
You kicked a very large anthill, Boyo. The secretary is indeed dead, and they're saying it looks like poison. They want your hide stretched on a hoop.
I didn't poison him. Is Emil all right? And Penny, where's Penny?
Both here, both doing their jobs. You know, your sister's really come a long way. Quite a young woman.
Rafe looked sharply at Gary, but the man seemed sincere.
Emil did say to tell you the Premier's office called. He wants to talk to you at your earliest convenience.
I'll bet he does.
Gary exited first, then waved Rafe out.
That other one, Melendi, says you pulled a weapon on him and threatened him. And he's saying he should never have let you in to see the secretary.
I should have just killed that little bastard last night when he interrupted Penny's birthday dinner and called it an affair of honor. What I threatened him with was exposure of his incompetent little financial fiddles.
Rafe came inside of his offices. Emil was out beside the receptionist's desk. He waved at both of them.
Sarah, what...
I know. One of those interesting days I wished for when I was a bored little boy. I would love to give you the rest of the day off, but I'm afraid that would result in your spending some hours being grilled by officials. Instead, could I offer you the comfort of one of the guest suites?
The children...
Right. They're 9 and 13, aren't they? In school, then an after-school program? Here's what we'll do if you agree. We'll avoid all the media and official attention and move them and you somewhere out of reach. It's near the end of term.
Well, yes, that would be nice.
We'll need your authorization to have one of our people pick them up from school. We should do that before anyone makes the connection and tries to intercept them when school's over.
I'll make the travel arrangements. Quiet house, suitable for children that age, a couple of security, just in case.
Emil, come fill me in.
Rafe led the way into his inner office. The light blinking on his desk was the direct connection from the palace to ISC. But he could not answer that until he knew how close to the cliff edge he stood.